spirits respond before his throne. That from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing Psalm 415, stands 2, 415, stands 2, and to me, O Lord, Jehovah, show thy ways, and lead thou me. And to the 415, stands 2.
The scripture reading for this evening is from God's holy and infallible word, the book Exodus 14, verse 1 through 18. Exodus 14, verse 1 through 18. But let us first profess our undoubted and Christian faith with the 12 articles of faith.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus 14, starting at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the hearts of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get my honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. So far the scripture reading.
Let us seek God's face in prayer. Lord, For all things thou art looking for thy honor. That is in the worship of thy name, but that is also in the life of everyone. May we pray thee that also may be looked for this evening, in preaching as well, in listening. And when we look then at who we are, where we come from, then we have to confess in our nature, then nobody is asking for thee. Nobody is looking for thee. Nobody is serving thee. Then we have all run away from thee in our fall. Oh, what is it then? A miracle of grace, that still thou art looking for us also this evening, that thy word will be preached, thy word what is speaking about thee, wherefore that thou came to this earth, O Lord Jesus Christ. From eternity was it in thy counsel. From eternity thou had thoughts in this way, that thou would come freely and voluntarily to come to this earth where nobody was asking from thee to make a distinction where it is not, to call souls out from the darkness to that wonderful light where, Lord, they start to see when thou start to work with to making them convicted about their sins, where they start to see who they are with all their sins, where thou art showing them what thy law is asking, is requiring from them, that the judgment is upon them. O Lord, may we pray that also this evening, not only that may be seen, may be felt, may be experienced, but also that thou came to preach thy word for lost sinners who don't earn anything anymore, whereupon is the judgment, that thou had given that preaching so that they might come to salvation, where thou art speaking for them, I have paid the price for them, I have suffered, I have come, so that those who are elected from eternity will be brought to that faith in thee, O Lord, to live by thee, from thee, till that they may be forever with thee. That also this evening souls might be convicted of their sins, but also might be led by thee to that liberty what is only there, that they are saved by justice, by what thou art working to make them full of that faith, what thou art working, faith in thee, and that fruits of faith and conversion might be there. O Lord, thou hast called all thy servants from the beginning on, and especially after Pentecost, to go out and to preach. And the Apostle Paul said that he gave witness, he was witnessing repentance unto God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That we also might be granted to do that this evening, and that souls might be made ready to receive thy word, that indeed an arrow might hit them, might pierce their hearts. That arrow of grace what thou art sending to those who have to be collected from that field of grace to be led by thee, that the preaching also may be used for that purpose, that especially those that thou wants to call are those who thou hast called, and that they might be fed with thy word, that they might be led, that it might be blessed to their souls, that they might be strengthened in faith especially, that thy Holy Spirit might work O Lord, not only in applying thy word, but also that the burden of prayer may be upon their hearts. Prayer unto thee, a burden that the word might be blessed to souls, that thy kingdom might be extended also today, that we don't look upon the circumstances, but that we may look upon thee, who have all might, who art merciful, who art also righteous. Thou hast done everything to do what is necessary to bring thy children home forever. Oh, may we pray for those who are suffering. It can be from illness. It can be from the body of their souls. O Lord, remember them in mercy. Will those ways bless to their souls, and when they need treatment, that it might be blessed also to their bodies. But grant us and all of us that we may have something, that we have faith, O Lord, because then we may lay them before thy feet. Then there is no right anymore. There is nothing that we can plead upon from us, but then we may plead upon thee. Then we may see, look at thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, who have done everything to go thy way, also in this congregation. May we pray for thy work, that might be seen, that thy people might rejoice in thee because of thy work, and that there may be joy in heaven because of souls that might come to conversion. We pray for those who are suffering spiritually, O Lord, who have heard that they are condemned because of their sins, that the wrath is upon them. And now, what then, who are crying to thee, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, that they might be led by thee, so that thou wilt make a way where is no way, that thou wilt bring them to that end, that they may lose it, that they may agree whatever that thou art willing to do, but that the gospel may be preached to them, that they may be led unto thee, unto thy feet, O Lord, that thou would be merciful to them. We pray for those who are at the evening of their life, who maybe are cannot be here. Remember them also at their homes, and they may hear us, may listen to the sermon. Make room for thyself, and glorify thyself also there. We pray for the country, O Lord, also here, that thy Holy Spirit may be poured out, that souls might be drowned. Maybe we say, how is that possible? It's impossible looking upon what they do, but for thou have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, that thy mercy might be seen and heard, and that thy people may feel that burden that they have to pray, O Lord, glorify thyself in collecting souls and gathering them, that thy name will be glorified, and that they might be a witness at the place where thou hast set them, whether it is here or in other places. Remember, Lord, thy church worldwide, especially there where they are persecuted because of thy name. And many times thou art going ways also there, that it seems that everything is coming to an end. But thou art doing it to prepare a way for thyself, so that thou wilt receive all glory what thou hast prepared for thyself. So we come to thee also this evening. Remember Pastor Heemskerk and Mr. De Clue, when they are traveling this week or tomorrow to this place. May they have traveling mercies to come to hear and a blessed time also here within the congregation. We pray for all those who are suffering, for what it is, O Lord, remember them in mercy and grant us also this evening that thy Holy Spirit might lead us in speaking and in listening. We pray for the pastor, for the consistory, for all those who have to play a role in this church, in this congregation, that all things might work for good, for those whom thou hast collected, thou hast elected from eternity. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, this evening we want to speak, and may it be with the help of the Lord, about God saves his children according to his counsel. And then to look in the first place upon an impossible commandment. In the second place, Pharaoh and his people turned against them. And in the third place, the Lord will be honored. As God saves his children according to his counsel. The first point, an impossible commandment. Second, Pharaoh and his people turned against them. And third, the Lord will be honored. But first we want to sing Psalter 2:11, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 2:11, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, most holy art thy ways. And 2, O God, from thee the waters fled. And 3, thy way was in the sea, O God. Dus 2:11, 1, 2, and 3. congregation, we go back to the exit of the Israelites from Egypt. We can read about it in Exodus 12, where we read about the installation of the Passover. In that night, the Israelites brought the blood of the lamb on the sidepost and on the upper doorpost of the houses where they lived. Because when the Lord would go through the land of Egypt, then all the firstborn of the families and of the beast would die, except when the blood would be at the sidepost and at the upper doorpost. Because in every Egyptian house they were crying about the losses which were there. And God worked it in that way, that they all gave the Israelites that what they were asking for their departure, because there was a long time that he had asked to worship God in the desert, but here it was so far after this tenth plague that they would go, that God prepared a way out of Egypt. And we read there in the word that they robbed the Egyptians of all what they had to take it with them. And the Pharaoh, when he saw that his firstborn died, then he called the others together, and when he had heard about all what happened, then he was asking Moses to go, and not only he, but also all his people with him, to leave Egypt. And so they could go to serve the Lord with what also the Egyptians gave. And when you look to what happened, there must be about 600,000 men and all others. About 2 million people have departed Egypt from Ramesses to Succoth. And they encamped on the edge of the wilderness when they were on the way to Canaan. And they were on the road to the Philistines. And the Lord was so merciful, because the Lord gave them also a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire in the night. That the pillar of the cloud on the day, that they would be protected for the heat of the sun, and in the night the pillar of fire, that they would be protected for the animals. But that was not the only thing, but God used also those pillars to lead them, to guide them, that they would know what the Lord's way, the Lord's path would be. And when you look upon this, then you can see the parallel also with the people of God. Also they are let out from the Egypt of sin by the Lord, through the desert to Canaan. The Lord is drawing them out of those sins and is leading them through that life, through the desert, where they learn to know the Lord more and more, but also themselves. In other words, God in Christ, only in Christ, because another way is there not. And where they are brought under conviction of sin and guilt, it was already in Egypt where they had held the Passover. In the Passover where they had slaughtered the lamb that was with them, where they brought, and they said it already, the blood on the sidepost and on the upper doorpost. That was necessary. Before that, the Lord could pass them with that judgment that also their children, their firstborn child and also of the beast, would have to die. They were not better than the Egyptians. It would have been righteous when God would also have done it there. But he gave them that order to slaughter that lamb so that it would point to the coming of Jesus Christ, who would come to this earth and to give himself as that sacrifice for all those who will be called from sin and who will be called from darkness, and to bring to that new life in that way of conviction and also of renewing their life. This, in other words, from the moment on that they are in Christ, then the Lord is with them through the whole life. If they can see it or not, the Lord is with you when you may be in Christ, upon the right grounds, where is done justice to God. And then the Lord is with you. He will lead and guide you through this life. Oh, and nevertheless all your sins, because that flesh is always going with you, bringing you to unbelief so many times, afflicting you, always fighting against God, because it cannot do otherwise. As the Lord is with you till that work will be finished, till they will be forever with the Lord after this life. And that is what we see. Then they have also that pillar of a cloud and that pillar of a fire that is leading and guiding them, is protecting them against all the tricks and wiles of Satan. In the book of the Pilgrim's Progress, there you find that Satan is strong. But when the pilgrim is walking, then there was a moment that he is seeing that Satan, what is expressed by lions, but they were on the shame. They could not hit him. And so it is with every child of God. God is in control over his life and all things. Do you hear? All things must work together for good to them. How difficult that sometimes the way can be. He will not leave them. An impossible commandment. The Lord is speaking or spoke to Moses and ordered him that the Israelites had to turn back to Pihahiroth, that is a place near the Red Sea. They had to go back that road, you would say, to Egypt, to go that path. They could not understand why, but the Lord said more to them. He already gave a promise. When you in the beginning of 14, you can read it. He had to turn to encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. And then the Lord is already telling Moses that Pharaoh will say they are entangled, that the wilderness had shut them. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. This, they did not go apart accidentally, but it was according to the plan of God. Why does that happen also in the life of a child of God? Why is God sometimes going ways with them what they don't understand? What is against all their logic, all reasoning? And nevertheless, God is leading you through that way, and that God will be glorified. That is first. All things that the Lord will do through his people need to glorify God. And that is also happening here. This is an impossible commandment. The Lord spoke in that way. And why did he do that? Why did the Lord bring them back? They were a little bit farther than they would have been in Canaan. No, they had to go back. Well, the Lord told it. He said, they are unarmed. They are weak, the people of Israel. When they would have to go now through this road, and through that road, they would meet the Philistines. The Philistines who are able to fight. When they would have to fight, when they have no power, no strength, no arms, they would flee back, they would return to Egypt. No, said the Lord, we will do it in a different way. We will lead you back to Egypt. And then the Lord is working out a wondrous work, because they would lose that big enemy, the Egyptians. But here at this moment, it is hidden for them. They don't know how that will be executed. It was an impossible way, because these Israelites, they were almost home, and now they had to go back. They were almost in Canaan, and now they had to go back to the Egyptians. And they had to encamp just before the Red Sea. They had to encamp there at Pihahiroth, that is at the one hand, that are rocks, at the other hand, there is Baal Zephon and Migdol, that they think that it were a kind of forts to protect that road. That was at the other hand, and before them there was the sea. And so God is leading them and guiding them. Now when you look to every child of God, they had also sometimes to go that path. And we always like to reason, to explain, that we can contain it, that we can comprehend it. No, said the Lord in Isaiah, I shall you lead in ways that you did not know, because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Isaiah is also speaking at another place, that there will be a highway like for the people of Israel out of Egypt. Now what does that mean? Does the Lord paved a way for them, a highway? And when you read the Dutch, there you find Gebaandeweg. You could say that is a way that is prepared by the Lord. And there is the Lord himself who will lead and guide them. Although all the things that we cannot explain, that we cannot that we don't know why and for what reason, or that it is still hidden, but here it is a road, you can say that the Lord is with them. And that is the most important thing. Where you live is not important, where you are or where you have to work, but if the Lord is with you. In the Word you find so many examples. For example, you have Abraham. He was called by God one day, and God said to him, you have to take your only son, Isaac, and to go with him to a place that I will point to you to sacrifice. Now when you think about this, then we would have to do that. Would we be able to do that? Here, Abraham was also not able to do that in himself. But what we read about Abraham is that he was doing that by faith. By faith he prepared everything. And by faith he traveled. By faith he said, we will return. And by faith he went upon the mountain Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. And at the moment that he held his hand high, then God spoke, Abraham, and God had provided a ram that he could slaughter, that was pointing to Jesus Christ who would come. Isaac could not pay for Abraham, but here Abraham was called to sacrifice him, to sacrifice his own salvation, because when he would have killed him, then the Son, there through Jesus would come that generation after so long time that would be locked down, that would not been possible anymore. And so Abraham had to do it, and God called him Abraham and gave him that ram. And when you speak about Abraham, it was by faith that he did do that. And what was that saying? And in the New Testament we find in Romans, I believe, 4, that faith was counted for righteousness. That faith was worked by God, by the Holy Spirit himself. And so he acted, and so he was obedient to God. There's also there, we see an impossible way that the Lord was leading him. One other example, John Bunyan, who was preaching the word of God, called by God himself. And what happened? He was brought into prison for 12 years. 12 years, because the only thing what he did was that he was preaching the word of God. And when we look to God's ways, in that prison, there he wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, what had been blessed to so many souls, and other books. This, in the same way, you see in that God's highway, also in the life of John Bunyan, and it was blessed to the church. It was glorifying God, and that every time is coming back. All things what God is working out in his church, that is glorifying himself. And second, Pharaoh and his people turned against the Israelites. If you look at what the Lord spoke to Moses, the Lord told more. They had to turn back towards the Red Sea at Pi-Hahiroth. He also told Moses that Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness had shut them in. And he told them, him already, how Pharaoh and the Egyptians would act. The heart of Pharaoh would be hardened, and he will pursue you. It is for that purpose. Oh, we cannot understand it. But also this is for the purpose that God will be glorified, and that as well the Egyptians as the Israelites would know again that there is only one Lord, one God. All things are worked out for that purpose. Thus, when you look to the situation, then they went to that place, to Pi-Hahiroth, as ordered. And the servants of Pharaoh, they told him, they said, Pharaoh, listen what happened. That all the people of Israel, 2 million people, they come back from the road to Canaan, and they are locked up here just before the Red Sea. So Pharaoh was tempted. And we can see how Satan is also worked in and through that. But they, their hearts were hardened, and Pharaoh, together with all his helpers, they were making plans to pursue them. And they collected all those chariots, all those horses and men, to go behind them, to chase them. When you look to them, then you ask yourself, how is it possible? Here this Pharaoh, just a few weeks back, he lost, or maybe a charter, he lost his older son. And all those people, they lost the firstborn from their cattle. They have seen how that the Lord worked during those 10 plagues. And here again, the hatred is so deep that they, and what is hatred always doing? Opening the door for Satan, that there is free way for him to tempt you, that you, through that hatred, will do whatever Satan is asking from you. And that is what also happening here is happening here. And this Pharaoh, he is collecting his whole army. We have heard it, how many there were. No, we did not yet say it, but so many horses, men, 600,000. He collected them, experienced fighters, to attack the people of Israel, who had no arms, who were weak, who had no people to fight with. They only could go out to catch them, to take them, and to arrest them and to kill them. That is what we could expect, but because Pharaoh was roaring like a lion. Do you know what you see? Satan is never satisfied. Never satisfied. Here, Pharaoh and his servants had really said to them, "You can go." And he had asked them to go. And here is it just the eternity opposite. And they blamed them that they were gone and that what they had done. And that they took as reason to collect that whole army and to chase them. What you see here, this Pharaoh, and you see Satan through him working. What is behind the two? In that whole people, there was also the generation out which that Jesus would be born. But he would kill them all, that Jesus could not come, could not be born. That is also something what you see behind it. Why that Satan is putting all efforts in place to kill them and to destroy the Israelites. It is not only there, but you see that also with God's people, when they may be in liberty, when they may speak by faith, when they may act by faith, and sometimes when the Lord is giving them that they may speak in freedom or liberty about who Jesus is, then they meet resistance. They meet resistance from other people who start to mock you, who start to oppress you when they are able to do, because Satan, he is putting everything there to destroy God's work, to blame it, or to destroy it in you, that liberty will be gone, that you will not anymore fruitful in that wherefore the Lord has called you. That is what you see also today. Satan does not like it that believers are speaking and witnessing about the only one Savior, that the Lord is. People of God, you will meet adversity, enmity, and sometimes you think, why are they doing that? That you cannot understand it, that you did nothing wrong. But look then upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been 33 years here on this earth. Did he do anything wrong? He only had healed people. He had taught them. He had spoken about the way of salvation. He had pointed out the sins. He had done only those things. In Luke 19 you read it. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And nevertheless that, Judas was tempted to betray Jesus Christ. There was one day that they all left him because they said it is harsh what he is saying. And the Lord was only speaking that they would be saved, that they would be redeemed. This, there is no nothing strange that also his children are experiencing the same things. This, what you see then, when you will be attacked, it is not dealing about you. It is dealing about the child, Jesus Christ, that is in you. And that is at the battle between Satan and the child. That is what is coming back. And the Satan is using other people to attack you, to destroy the work that the Lord worked in you. Thus here we go back to the people of Israel. They were traveling there back to Pi-Hahiroth. And then when they were there to encamp, to be there, it was just at the sea, then they heard there a noise of that big army of Pharaoh who was coming. And it must have been so bad and made such a noise that the soil was trembling. When they think that it was 600,000 men, and somewhere I read that they were thinking 1 million, who were coming with a big army, with chariots, with horsemen, and all the people who came them had to chase them. And those 2 million people, they had death before their eyes. They came so close that they could hear them. The earth was shaking. And what was happening? They started to cry to the Lord. And when you look to that crying, there is a different crying. There were people, they were crying because they were praying for help. But there were also others who were praying, who were not praying for help, who were murmuring. And there is a big change or a big difference between the one or the other. And that is what you see here. And Moses was praying and crying to the Lord time and again. But by Moses there was a relation with God. He knew what God was working out. It was his servant because God spoke to him. Moses was protected against all the tricks and wiles. The more that we will put his footstep, the more that we will be with him, protected by the Lord, the more that we will be protected for the tricks and snares of Satan. Thus there were also others, and they started to murmur. They said, "Are there no graves in Egypt? Why did you bring us here in this desert? There we had work, although we were enslaved, but there we could live, and here we all have to die." And what were they doing? They were looking upon their circumstances. And that is always so. When we look upon the circumstances, then there are two things. Then first, we are sinners. We are looking with a sinful mind, sinful eyes. The second, when we look upon the circumstances, then we don't look upon God, then we don't expect it from him, but then we try to catch it with our thoughts by reasoning. Here this man, they saw only the sea, they saw only the Egyptians behind them and the mountains at one hand and the forts on the other hand. And they were thinking, we will die here at this spot. Thus they did not have any expectation from God. God who had been so merciful to them, he had saved them from Egypt by all those plagues. They have seen all those miracles. But you can see that all what they have seen with their eyes, it does not work. Faith in them. Only what the Holy Spirit is working, that is giving faith in God. Whatever circumstances there are, because when we have belief in those miracles, when there is coming really a storm like this, all the faith is gone. And then that faith is no faith, is not connected with God. We need faith that the Lord is working by His Holy Spirit. And then we start to look upon Him. Also, when everything is fainting, or when everything is speaking just the opposite side. And that is what here was happened. They did not see any way anymore. Is it also not many times in our life when we don't see any path? But how do we react? May we exercise faith then in the Lord? May we have expectation, hope, faith in Him, that whatever may happen, that we may surrender heart and life to Him? Or is it also that we start to murmur, to protest in our heart? Why did I experience that and he has prosperity, and I have illness or adversities? I remember me one time, a man lost on one day because of an accident, his wife and a son of him, and that he was standing between two coffins. And the Lord gave so much of his love in his heart and surrender that he could glorify God also in the midst of those coffins. And there you see faith that is not something what you can make, what is man-made. The true faith is a gift from God by grace. There is no right, there is nothing that you can claim, but when the Lord it will give, then you don't look at the circumstances anymore, but you may look then upon Him and live by Him. Before we go to 3, let us first sing 74, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 4. 74, the stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee, to when thou didst say, seek ye my face, my answering heart replied. And 3, hide not thy face, nor in thy wrath thy servant put away. And 4, O God, my Saviour, leave me out, thou parents should forsake. Thus 74, 1 through 4. congregation. Point three, that is, the Lord will be honored. After this murmuring and praying, the Lord did not leave them to themselves, but started to speak in verse 13, "Fear ye not still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." First, there is comfort that the Lord says, "Don't fear." It means that they were filled with fear, with so many fears. Is it also not so many times with us? And when something is happening, when we think that we have something, a kind of an illness, can we also not filled with so many fears? That is also going on. But the Lord went on, because he promised them that they would see the Egyptians no more. "I know how you are fearing. Don't fear." He is comforting them. He is pulling them out of that things. He is comforting them. And he is confirming it also with what is adding that, what he is adding there. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." That is a blessing when you may hear that, that the Lord shall fight for you, and that you may hold your peace. It says two things. At one hand, the Lord is speaking about the salvation, the deliverance with the Lord, that the Lord will show to them, to the Israelites. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will do it. And you don't need to do anything. The Lord will act. He will fight with the Egyptians so that they will be destroyed. Not one time. But here again, the Lord is adding something. Forever. The Egyptians who have oppressed you so many years, they will not oppress you anymore. They will not enslave you anymore. I will fight for you. And that the Lord is saying that to Israelites who are murmuring, who are crying, who are wanting to go back to serve the Egyptians again. But the Lord is here comforting them, that he will do the work. But when you read that here, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." You shall hold your peace. It seems so easy, but it is the most impossible thing what the Lord can speak to us. Because in our blood is always that we try to do things, that we try to help, or that we try to save us. "No," said the Lord, "I don't need you. Keep, hold your peace. I will do the work, that I will receive the whole glory of what is happening here." Here is the people of Israel. They think that they are near death. And that is what they have earned when they were to look upon their sins. And here these Israelites who had done so badly, here God is saying, "You sinner, lost sinners, you will be saved from the Egyptians. You people of Israel who are so weak, so unarmed, who have no power, who are not strong. But you don't need to be it. You don't need to be strong." And is that not also in the spiritual life? We always like to be strong, to preach, or to be a believer, or to work in the family. We like to be strong, but the Lord is teaching time and again, "No, I don't need your strength, your wisdom." And What a blessing when the Lord then will say, I will fight for you, or I will give you what you need at the moment that you need it. And trust me and expect it from me. Here, those Israelites, they are comforted in this way, that the Lord will work out that work and that they don't need to do. Here it looks that Moses had cried to the Lord, because the Lord answers him. He said, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Here again, the Lord is working in such a wondrous way, because the Lord is working that according to his own counsel, but also he is giving here this Moses, the leader of the people of Israel, that he had that burden of praying for his people. Why? We can find it out more times. This Moses had only one goal, that Satan could not laugh because of what was going on, that the Lord would get his honor. And therefore he was pleading in the first place. He was pleading also here. But here God is answering him, and not only in speaking, but also in what he should say to the people. Go forward. There is water. But they have to go forward as if there is no water. First they had to be obedient before that the Lord would pave there a road through this water. And that is so many times. We have experienced that also in our life, that we had to set our footstep before that the Lord was providing opening in the ways that we had to go. Just after that Moses got that commandment to lift up his rod and to stretch out his hand over the sea and to divide it, then there comes dry ground that the people of Israel will have to go. This is the first miracle, but then the Lord says something that must have been hard of them, because they have heard that the Lord will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they will follow the Egyptians. Here they must have been afflicted with that question. What will happen when the Egyptians will catch us? That is what they were expecting. And the Lord said, no, the Egyptians, the Lord would get honor upon Pharaoh and all the Egyptians who would follow them. I don't know if they have understood what the Lord would do, but one thing we know, the Lord is working out this all, that he would be the honor, that God worked that. Congregation, it can be that you had experienced that the Lord also had brought you, let's say, to a Red Sea, and that all the ways were blocked, that it was impossible, that you could not see any way forward, that you had to cry, O Lord, what is thy path? Is there, and then it can even be that you did not agree with the way of the Lord. But when you murmur, then there is one thing. It will bring darkness over your soul. And again, you have to come to that point that you have to confess your sins, when God will convict you. And that the Lord again will give you that faith in him, that you may give it out of hands. Impossible. Oh, and then we can wrestle, then we can have unrest. It can be that we don't know where to go, that everything is coming against. But what a miracle. My God is returning them and I'm giving you that surrender. Shall I die? Let me die then. How said Esther it? To surrender in the hands of God so that there comes room for His work. And that is what the Lord is many times working. Therefore, that He will have all honor and glory at His time, in His ways. Just don't look upon the circumstances, because that is what is happening so many times. But there is a better way, and that always, whatever ways there come, oh, pray that I might be surrendered in your heart and life, that you may see upon Him, might wait upon Him, till that the Lord is paving again a road, is giving you a highway you remember, a way where the Lord had said, I am with you to lead you wherever it may be, here in Canada, or in the Netherlands, or wherever it may be. It can be that you are studying, that you don't know the path, but the Lord knows it. He is the author and finisher of faith. And He will test us many times to see if we will live by faith, or that we will trust our own mind, our own thinking. God will crush it, and He will lead you to that point that you lose everything, all things what is of yourself, and to trust Him and to go His path. Here today it is promising what the Lord has said to Moses. It was a blessing for the Israelites, who did not need to fear. They were fearing very much, but they did not need to fear. The Egyptians, they did not fear. They came with that whole army, and we know later on how they were that whole army of following the Israelites. But do you know what you see then? The Israelites got by free grace that path through the Red Sea. It was a gift, a free gift from God. They had not earned it, but they got it because of Jesus Christ, what He had earned also for them. That was a blessing. But the Egyptians, they also went that path, but they had stolen that. They had not earned it. Christ had not earned it for them, had not given them, they stole it. And so it is so many times today that people are stealing salvation. There are many churches, they preach that you can save yourself. You don't need a road, let's say a path, what is given by grace, earned by Christ to you. You can take it yourself. You have to make the choice yourself. But it is stolen, and you will end up with a stolen path and come for the judgment of God, of Jesus Christ, at the end of your life. There you will find out that all things were stolen, and you had to pay yourself for your own sins. Then you will say, oh, had I listened, had I believed, how is it? The big question, are you saved? Are we saved? How is it? Oh, are you not saved? And do you still walk on your own account? Then you are in a big danger. Pray. Pray that you may take refuge behind the blood of Jesus Christ, that God may give you a paved path, a gebaande weg, a highway, and that the Lord will be with you, that because of Christ, that you will receive it by the justice of God. that may happen. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, when we have heard about how Thou dealt with the people of Israel, then Thou had glorified Thyself. Thou brought them to the end, that for their experience they had to die. But Thou gave an opening, by free grace, an opening at Thy time, when they could do nothing anymore. O may we pray for all of us. O Lord, Thou knowest how it is with us. If there are also those blockages that we have no path anymore, that we are at the end of ourselves, will Thou give that we may hear from Thee alone, don't fear, that we may be comforted by Thee and wait upon Thee, that we don't need to do anything anymore, that we don't expect it from our own works, but that we may lean upon Thy work, what Thou hast done. Thou hast finished Thy work at Calvary's cross, so that lost sinners can be saved. O Lord, remember all of us when we have to leave this place, that we may arrive safely at home, and grant unto us that hunger, thirst for Thy word again on Sunday. Remember us in the coming day, that Thy work may be seen also here in the congregation of Springford, that we may hear, that souls might be converted, that souls might be brought to the knowledge of Thee. We pray that in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Then we will sing the last Psalter 394, the stanzas 2 and 3. Each generation to the next shall testimony bear, and then 3, Thy mighty acts, and terrible shall men with awe confess. There's 2 and 3 of 394. Go in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.